There's these long-winded guys, you know. Hebrews 11. We're in Hebrews, going through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. We are at the Great Faith Hall of Fame. Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 30. I'm going to be reading verses 30 to 31 today. Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this example out of the Old Testament, from the Old Covenant of people with faith. And Lord, it's a wide spectrum here that you have. And Father, we get to see this. It's a one rather astounding incident, but it involves several cases of faith, Father. And what that faith does, it overrides the fear that came, because there was definitely fear involved, but the fear wasn't from you, it was because of those around them. But Father God, what was from you was faith, and that faith, it was the fear of the Lord that overcame the fear of man. Help us to see that today. Help us to recognize that and to utilize that in our life. Father, the fear of of what's around us, the fear of someone else, the fears that we go through today are so often because we don't recognize you in our life. We don't see that we have an eternal mindset. Father, we don't see that as a Christian, as one who's trusted in Jesus Christ, we have a God who is amazing and is personal. And Lord God, even if circumstances don't go our way, we still know that you are in charge. And we bow to your will. And like Christ said, not our will be done, but yours. Father God, help us to have that mindset, because that's the mindset that brings peace. That's the mindset that brings joy in any circumstance. We love you. We honor your name. I pray, Father, that you would teach us through your word, and let it be your word. Let it be what you have for us. Through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. In Hebrews, where we have come in Hebrews, the writer of the book, we're not positive about who wrote it, but the writer of the book is writing to these people. He's writing to a group of people who call themselves Christians, people who are in a church setting. But he's specifically writing to a group of those people who want to get out of that setting and go back under the old covenant system, under the Judaistic religious system. Because without religious system, they had a little security. They wouldn't be persecuted. They wouldn't have life near as hard. So they wanted to get under that religious system. But the problem with that is that religious system pointed to Christ. And so what they wanted to get back under was what they already had, Christ. So what they needed was to go on to belief. And the writer is saying, look, Christ was superior to everything under the old covenant system, superior to the angels and the prophets and to Moses and to all of the great men there, the great people who had a great reputation under the old covenant system, Abraham and Aaron. He said, Christ is superior. And he's gone through and he's proven that. And he gets to chapter 5 and he says, or chapter 6, and he says, look, the problem isn't that you don't have the truth. The problem is that you haven't gone on to belief in the truth. You haven't accepted that truth. And so the basic problem is unbelief. And we looked at that, and then how he showed that Christ is our high priest. He's the one that, he's after the order of the Melchizedek. He's after a greater order than Aaron. So we looked at that, and now then we get to chapter 8 through 10, and he compares the old covenant with the new, and we see how great the new covenant is. That it's based on better promises, and that it's based through a son. And so we get to the end of that, and he's built this up, understanding that Christ is, the new covenant is in his blood. And so he shows that all through there, and he compares it. And when we get to chapter 11, he says, all right, now what I want you to see is the people of faith who, through that old covenant system, through that old covenant system, through what you want to go back under, all of these people who you want to be under and say, you know, they're our fathers, they lived by faith, just like you need to live by faith. You see what he's doing? He's showing them that even the ones that they thought were part of a religious system weren't part of a religious system. They were part of a life of faith. And he goes through and he talks about Abel. And he talks about Abel, a worshiper of faith, worship in faith. And he talks about Enoch, who walked in faith. And he talks about Noah, who worked in faith. And he talks about Abraham. And he goes on and talks about all of these people. So right now we're up to the point where he's talking about Joshua and Rahab. And it's a fascinating story, because that's one that if you were under that religious system, you might look back and say, well, I don't know about that faith thing there. And yet the writer here says, look, this is part of faith. This is people who live by faith. The patriarchs did. Moses did. And you know, with Moses, who was right before Joshua here, what Moses, he lived by faith. He saw that heavenly riches were better than earthly. We looked at that. And seeing what is unseen. He could live by faith because he had an eternal mindset. He knew he had heaven in front of him. And he saw what was unseen. He saw God. And you know, it wasn't that he saw this God standing in front, but he saw him as if he were right there. He understood that God was with him in all of that. There was no fear with him, because greater fear had overtaken the lesser fear. The greater fear is the fear of the Lord. And it's not that we're afraid of the Lord. It's that we stand in awe of his power and his strength and his love and his grace and his mercy. What we see all throughout the New Covenant, the New Testament. So what we're looking at here, what we're going to begin here or look at this, it's one incident and it's all wrapped together with Joshua. What we look at in verse 30, because it doesn't name Joshua, but he says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Again, we see the motivation by faith, out of faith. What Joshua had, what the people had at that point, what they did with this. But Joshua had led the people across the Jordan River. Now remember, Moses had died at this point. Moses had brought them out of Egypt. He had taken them toward the promised land, and it would have taken about 40 weeks to get from, with that big of a group, to get from Egypt all the way over to the promised land, Canaan. And yet it took 40 years, because they got there, they sent spies in, and the spies came back and said, oh, these people are giants. This is scary. And the people grumbled, and God said, you know what? You can just stay in the desert. So for 40 years, they stayed in the desert. Moses led them around in the desert. Quite a wilderness run. And yet their clothes never got bad. They had food every day, manna from heaven, quail to eat. They had God's provision. He provided for them. At the end of that, Joshua led them across the Jordan. He had the Jordan River there, which is right at the edge of the Promised Land. He had the priests go with the Ark of the Covenant. They went and they walked into the river. And as they walked into the river stood up on one side. I want you to know that. It stood up on one side. And the other side drained. Right? Before, when Moses went through the Red Sea with these people, stood up on both sides. The water just stopped. The river stopped. Here, one side it stood up. It stopped it. And they walked through. And the people heard about that. The people that surrounding, in the surrounding communities, all the kings and such heard about that. But at that point, when they walked through there, the manna stopped. The quail stopped. Because they had come to the promised land, and now they were to work for their food. They were to provide, because God had provided the land. So there was great changes happening. Great things going on. Jericho was the first test for them. The first problem that they were going to have in the promised land. It was right along, it was close to the Jordan River. And the spies weren't wrong. When the spies came 40 years earlier, they weren't wrong. There were great people. There were huge problems with taking this land. But what the people didn't understand, they didn't trust God in it before. Now they were going to. Jericho's walls were huge. This was a well-fortified city. They were tall. They were great. They were wide. And in fact, Rahab's house was in the wall. We know that. But the walls were so thick that on the top of the wall, you could take two chariots side by side and run them all the way around the city. So it was a massive undertaking they had to get that wall, or to have the walls like that. It was well fortified. They were strong. They were impossible for the Israeli army or any army to breach. Okay, I want you to remember that. Because Israel was looking at it saying, they are impossible. These walls are impossible to breach. They're horrible. Now remember, they're talking in a physical sense. They were impossible to breach. At that time, with what they had, they couldn't do it. They saw that. The people of Israel could stand there and can see that, but we never have a place where we see that they were complaining. Remember what happened when they came out of Egypt? And they got to the Red Sea, and they turned around, and all of a sudden Egypt's armies were coming after them, and they started griping. What'd you bring us here for? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt for any of us? All right, so their faith wasn't showing them, but Moses said, hey, stand still and watch. And by faith, he led them across. And they went through by faith, it says, because the walls of water, they had to walk through there. They had to show that they trusted God and trusted Moses in that. But I want you to read you just a little bit about this story, about what's going on. And it's found in Joshua chapter 6. Going to read you this part of it. Starting in verse 1, it says, now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. And later on, what we would find out if we would keep going and reading is that the kings, all of the surrounding kingdoms, and especially here, were scared. They had heard of what had happened, that God took them through the Red Sea 40 years ago. They heard they're wandering in the wilderness and they're still alive. And then they heard they came across the Jordan River. But here it says, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and its valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all of the men of war circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. Also, seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And on the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people will shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight ahead. So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Then he said to the people, go forward and march around the city, and let the armed men go on before the ark of the Lord. And it was so. And when Joshua had spoke to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. In other words, Joshua got some instructions from God. Impossible instructions. He said, look, just do this. Walls will come down flat. Joshua went and told the people, look, just do this. You notice he didn't say, and the walls are going to come down flat. He said, just do it. And the people, what did they do? They did it. So here, instead of having griping, and here instead of saying, you know, the Red Sea is in front of us, the Egyptian soldiers in back, we're dead meat. We don't think God can handle this. Instead of saying that, the people said, what God has told you, we will do. Okay? That's what faith is. Faith isn't believing something and that's it. Faith is believing something so much so that it motivates you to do. And I want to show you that in the next verse. You'll see that. Okay? But as we as we get on here, usually when you want to occupy a city, or when they would surround the city and keep any keep anybody from bringing supplies in, keep any of the people from coming out. They would stand out around the city and starve them to death, basically. Try and take over that way. And it would take years to do. Here, it's 7 days. And the city gates, the walls of the city are impregnable. They cannot get in there. They should not be able to get in there. But God told Joshua, and he believed. Joshua told Israel. They believed. They did it. And the weirdest way to conquer. I mean, number one, it was embarrassing to go out and to walk around the city one time and then to leave. People in the city are saying, "Are you kidding me?" Have you ever? Oh, you probably haven't. If you had kids, you might have. There's a VeggieTales. VeggieTales is our grandkids watch it. Our kids had listened to them. But there's a Joshua and the big wall. And it's really good because, the little peas up on the top are hollering insults down, you know, to all the people bouncing around. It's pretty good. All the vegetables, sorry, bouncing around. But it kind of reminds you, look, it had to be embarrassing for them because they weren't doing anything. They were walking around the city every day. Oh, look, they're coming again. They're walking around the city. Hey, you suppose that's really going to do anything? And yet the people were afraid because they knew God was with them. They knew God had helped them cross the Jordan. They had a reputation, so they feared that. But the people obeyed. You know, it wasn't a show of strength. It didn't make any sense, as far as physical sense, to the people doing it, to the Israel. And they didn't get to keep anything. That's another thing. Joshua said, "You're not to keep anything." So they go and they're fighting this battle. They're going to fight this battle and defeat this. And they wouldn't even get to keep anything. So there wasn't even that motivation. So all the motivations on a human level were dumb. This is dumb. We shouldn't do this. Didn't make any sense. And yet they did it. They obeyed. They trusted God. And it happened. It happened. We could go on and finish the story. They walked around every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they walked around seven times. Seven times they blew the trumpets, the people shouted, and the walls came a tumbling down. So, was that a big shock to them? Was that a big surprise? I don't think so, because it says that as soon as the walls came down, they were ready, they had their arms, they were ready, and they rushed in to fight the people. They rushed in then. And so I don't think it was a surprise to them, because they had the faith to do what God said they should do. And they did it. You know, in all of this, fear is the key. Because you're going into a brand new land. You don't have any food anymore that's coming every day. You have this huge, massive problem as soon as you come in called Jericho. Huge problem. In fact, the next city, Ai, the advisor said, "Oh, just send 2,000 or 3,000 men. They've got nothing, you know." But because of the sin that happened to Jericho, they had a problem. 34 people died from Israel. 34 fighting men died in Ai. Nobody did in Jericho. We're not told that any of the fighting men died, because God had ordained this to happen, and it did. They trusted, and it did. But they put fear aside because they had a fear of the Lord. Remember what Proverbs said. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They weren't afraid of the Lord. They stood in awe and respect of God. So much so that this earthly fear of coming up against Jericho, massive city, a great army, was put aside. Because God said to do it. And they did it. So that greater fear brought courage. You know, faith oftentimes brings fearful situations. Faith brings fearful situations. If you didn't have faith, it wouldn't be any problem to go up. I mean, then you wouldn't have to worry about what Isaac's doing. You know, he called yesterday. They have classes in the morning teaching them some scripture. and ways to talk to people. And then in the afternoon, they have a couple free hours, but then they go and work at a booth for an hour, and then they go out on the street for an hour. He called yesterday. He said, "Dad, you wouldn't believe it. This is big street. And I couldn't even see the street. It was so full of people, I couldn't see the street." He said, "At first I was scared, you know, because you'd have to talk to strangers." And then he thought, "I talk to strangers all the time. I love it." So that was his favorite part, going out on the street and just talking to people. He just absolutely loving it. But he's kind of built that way, right? For a lot of us, that wouldn't be very comfortable, right? But the fear of that is taken out. See, because faith brings it. So because he has faith and he wants to share it, and this is an opportunity, that brings on a fearful situation, the fear of man, the fear of being put in, you know, an embarrassing situation or something. But the fear of God takes that out. Actually, faith brings courage. And that's what happened here with Joshua. That's what happened with the people. Faith brought courage. They believed God, and so they had courage to do what God said. And in witnessing, oftentimes, we have to get past the fear of men or the fear of the situation and remember that we have a heavenly home. That's that eternal mindset. Remember that God is in us, with us. That's seeing what is unseen. And when we do that, then the fear of whatever the situation is becomes courage to do whatever the situation is. And let God handle the results. You see, oftentimes we want to handle the results. No. Let God handle the results. We are simply to trust God and follow. And that's what happened here. Now let's go on. Because there's another incident in the same encounter. There's another incident. Verse 31. We're looking at Rahab now. Excuse me. Rahab. It says, "By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace." By faith, again, that's the motivation, by faith. So Rahab here is seen as having faith. And we look at that and say, well, wait a second. It says Rahab the harlot. You notice it doesn't say Rahab, an upstanding member of that community, or Rahab, just a citizen of Jericho. It says Rahab the harlot, who's a prostitute. Rahab the prostitute, whose life of harlotry is defined her up to that point. She had been involved in a life of sin, and by the way, that changed after her encounter with God, with Israel there, that changed. It changed a lot. But the background that she had didn't affect or diminish her faith. I want you to see that. The background she had, which wasn't a good background, did not diminish her faith. It says she did not perish. And the word "did not perish" is actually, in the original language, it's in the middle voice, which means she did not destroy herself by disbelieving. Because look, she's compared with a group here. It says, by faith Rahab the harlot did not destroy herself along with those who were disobedient. So you're looking at a comparison between her and those who were disobedient. Who were the ones who were disobedient? The rest of Jericho. All the other people in Jericho. God had given him the whole city, in fact, the whole land. God had given them a glimpse of who he was and the people he was blessing. And somehow, Rahab believed, those people did not. In fact, they disobeyed. It wasn't just an unbelief. The word disobedient is, from the original language, it's apatheo. Apatheo. Patheo is to do or to persuade or to do something. And whenever you put the first Greek letter, that alpha, in front of it, it means the opposite, the total opposite. Apatheo. What word do we get from that? Apathy. Apathy. I don't care. I don't care. But that doesn't properly describe this word, because this word has an action to it. It's not just, well, they didn't care about God. They didn't care about what was going on. That's not it. They didn't care to a point that they did something. they would not have hid the spies. They didn't, because look what it says later. It says they were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. She had welcomed the spies in peace. So there was the action that came from her faith. The action that came from the other's faith was to hinder the spies, to try and kill them, to try and keep the people out, to try and murder. So the word apatheo, it's not just that they didn't care. It's they didn't care to the point of disobeying. They didn't care to the point of an action coming from that. And remember, true faith will always have action that comes from it, according to James. What? Faith without works is dead. It's a dead faith. True faith will always have an action. And true unbelief or apatheo will always have an action that goes against God. And that's what happened here. Rahab took the spies. She hid them. She kept them safe. And because of that, and I have that whole story, but if I do read it, then I'm going to be long-winded again. So, again, well, you know, I always am anyway. I'm not going to read it. But I'm going to read part of it. Okay, I'm going to read part of it. In this whole story, Joshua sent in the spies. They came in. They stayed with Rahab, and she hid them. Now, it says, now before they lay down, up on the roof, they were up on the roof, she was putting flax over them. Before they lay down, she came up to the roof and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and the territory of you, or the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites and who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and on earth below. And so then she makes her case. Please swear to me that you're going to keep us safe. And they say, okay, if you do this and you put that red scarlet thread, that whatever the rope outside of your window, then, and she's looking at it saying, red scarlet, outside of my window, everybody's going to see it. But she didn't question it. She said, whatever you say, we'll do. All right? Because she believed, she had that faith. And that faith showed in what she did. She hung that cord out of her window. But those who were disobedient, those who had heard the same thing she heard and didn't have faith, didn't know, didn't trust God, didn't believe him in all of that, they perished. Rahab believed into action. They believed into being destroyed, actually. You know, the actions, again, I want to say the actions that come from faith are amazing. Because Rahab had a huge, huge opportunity to fear. The king sent a messenger to her house and said, you had two men come in there. And I heard, somebody had told the king, these men were sent to spy it out so you can be destroyed. King sent to her and said, hey, there's going to be a problem. She could have had the fear of men, had the fear of people. And then the spies said, look, you got to hang this rope out your window. Otherwise, we're not, you know, I can't guarantee anything. You have to have all of your people in, your father and your brothers, your sister. Everybody has to be in your home. If they step foot out, blood's on their head. If you tell anybody about us, we're free from this oath. So in all of that, there was a huge amount of fear. And here's Rebecca, the other gal. Rahab, thank you. Here's Rahab, another gal, not the other. All right, here's Rahab, who was a harlot, who was someone by herself. She was by herself in this. Joshua had seen Moses and all the things that happened with Moses, and he was the leader of that nation at that point, and he was trusting God. Rahab was a nobody. Rahab was somebody that they probably would have despised. And she had a huge amount of cause to fear. She feared her own people. She feared that if she hung that thing out, it might cause people to know what she was doing. She feared, I'm sure she feared, because of the Israelites. Would they even accept her? Would God even accept her? She had all of this that she could fear, but guess what? Faith produces courage, not fear. It cancels out the fear of man because of the fear of God. And so that produced in her courage. And guess what happened to her? Yeah, she lived. Yeah. They marched around, the walls fell, but her part of the wall stayed up. The people in Israel, God, she was accepted. So much so that she became the mother of Boaz. Remember Boaz, who loved Ruth and Boaz? And the great-great-grandmother of David, the king. And in fact, she's in the line of Christ. Rahab, a harlot in the line of Christ. Yes, because she had faith. So you have this great leader, Joshua, and you have Rahab, this non-great leader, this person you wouldn't even think would have it. And yet both of them had faith. Both of them had courage. Both of them believed what God said. And guess what? I don't think Rachel knew anything about a religious system of Israel. But she trusted what God had done already, what she had seen God do. And she lived from that. So she had all sorts of reasons to fear, but the fear of the Lord was a greater fear than the fear of man, the awe and respect of the Lord. Rahab's fear could have overtaken her, but her faith in God was greater. She wasn't a Jew. She was trusting the spies, and she had to find out if someone would accept her. But they did, because she went God's way. So, in all of this, what's it mean to us? What's it matter? I mean, that's a valid question. You know, we look at, for these people here, what this writer was trying to do was get them to realize that even Rahab, even Joshua, they had to have faith. They needed faith in trusting God. And these people here had the truth in front of them. They knew that Jesus Christ had come, had died, had given his life as a ransom for many. He shed his blood on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And he ascended to heaven after he'd been here teaching his disciples more. He ascended into heaven. They knew all of that. That was there. The head knowledge was there. But then they were saying, you know what, but I'm suffering persecution here. I'm having problems, so I want to get back under that religious system. The system that says, you know what, if you just toe the line, you'll be good enough. Don't ever, ever, ever rely on your own strength to toe the line for anything. It don't work. That's not good English. It didn't work. It ain't going to work. How about that? It's not a good idea. It's never a good idea, right? Because we're not strong enough in and of ourselves. We cannot. So what does it mean to us? I mean, here these people showed faith. It means that fear can be overcome by faith. The courage that comes from faith, because you have a God. If you've trusted Christ, you have a God. You have a home in heaven. John chapter 14, he's gone to prepare a place for us. Where he will be, there we will be. We have promises in Scripture. You'll never, never leave us, never, never forsake us. I say that every week, and I can't wait to get to it. It's at the end of Hebrews. We're coming to it. All right, five nevers there. And they don't cancel each other out. They're just build on each other. We know the Scripture says, when we die, we will be like him, for we'll see him as he is. To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. And we work so hard at trying to keep from getting there. We work so hard at not getting into situations where, folks, you pray for people in Afghanistan. I guarantee you, Christians are not going to be high on the list of survivors there. Guaranteed. But pray that they'll stand for their faith. Having an eternal mindset, knowing of whom they belong. But you know, both of these people were used by God. Both of them, the leader and the harlot, used by God. They had it. They had faith. They used it. It made a difference in them. So where are you in this faith thing? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you need to have a starting place. You need to have faith. That's what these people didn't have. They were struggling. Some of these people, now part of them did, but some of these people didn't. They had seen God work. They had been in the process. They had seen it all happen, but they didn't have it for themselves. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you can have that same relationship with God. Not the religion. We don't do religion here. The relationship. You can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, calling God of the universe your Father, your Abba, Daddy, your Daddy. That's the relationship. I would implore you today, find someone you know who is a Christian, or ask me. I would love to show you from God's Word how you can have that relationship. If you do already have that relationship, what does it mean to you? Well, it means by showing faith, by having faith, you exhibit courage. It means that God will give you the courage you need. You don't have it. I don't have it. It's not in me. It's not in and of myself. But God gives us the courage we need when He allows us into a situation where we need it. You can stand on faith. You need to have that eternal perspective. Do you have a chance to use your faith? Use it. Don't let fear of man or circumstances dictate your use of your faith. You're showing your faith. The fear of the Lord, the awe-ness of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. We serve a greater God than all of the problems that we can have here on this earth. Do as Ephesians 6 says, three times, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. Why is it saying put on the armor of God? It says stand firm. It doesn't say rush into the enemy territory. No, it's just stand firm. Stand firm on who you are and what God has done for you. And as Peter says, add to your faith moral excellence. Add to moral excellence this and that. And he just goes on down and he finally gets to love. So we can keep adding to our faith. You know that? Go to 2 Peter, which I believe is chapter 1. Add to your faith all of these things. By faith, with courage, because of what he has done for you. Not because you're such a great person or you're so strong, because we're not strong enough. But God is. And we serve a living God. Let's close in prayer.